Well, tonight we are going on a mystery cruise as we explore some ancient mysteries throughout this planet. Our special guest, Doug Yearchi, he's next with us on Coast to Coast AM. Doug Yearchi was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That was in 1951. While operating an art gallery, he encountered Katrina Stettler, a psychic who inspired him to dedicate his life to solving great mysteries. His research led him to scientific genius Nikola Tesla. And because of his study and understanding of Tesla, Yearchi has literally rewritten history. The idea that our ancestors were technologically superior is a vital theme that he currently promotes. In 1990, Doug was hired as a background artist on The Simpsons television show and has become a successful internet writer as well. He's our special guest tonight. Hey, Doug, how are you?
I am great. I am honored to be here. I'm just that so happy to be here. I have tried to get on this show a number of times, and I would never hear anything. And this time, I got the phone call. You guys came to me, and I'm just... Please just punch.
You see how it works sometimes?
To not force something is to just go with the flow, I guess, you know?
Of course, we might have gone to you, too, if we really knew a lot about The Simpsons at that time with you. That's a great program. It lives forever.
Yes. I guess someone on your staff heard about my article, Atlantis Power Grid.
Yes.
Because this has been spreading across the internet. It was published in a beautiful 100-page British magazine called Paranormal and Society of Lay Hunters. It actually started many years ago, and I'll back up and tell you a backstory, but I actually put it all together in an article called Wireless World. And so I'm just saying that this has been published through the 70s and 80s, and it was in an official UFO, it was in Unicus, American Rebel, a number of other magazines before I ever got to a computer, and I didn't have the last four components. My grid, and it's different from other world grids, has 13. There's something special about that number 13. And if you would have asked me years ago, if you would have read Wireless World and came down to the last four components, the evidence was kind of scant in Russia, in Japan, and Brazil and Canada. I had hardly anything for those locations. Now, the most famous ones, the Great Pyramid, Stonehenge, Easter Island, the Incas, Plato's Atlantis out in the Atlantic Ocean, those are like common to other world grids.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I saw this world grid, obviously those were the ones in those positions. We knew what those were. It took years for me to find these other ones.
Well, and explain to so many people who want to know what you mean by world grid.
Mm. Well, I think I can give a case for the beginning, the starting point of the human race at these 13 different points. And that changes everything. Okay, the map came in 1974. I was given this map, and in 1978, I made the first realization because, I was married to a psychic who channeled this map. And George, I'm sure we all wondered, what if you were to meet an advanced life form, what would you say? What would you ask if you were if you were in Betty and Barney Hills?
I'd want to know where they were from, how they got here, why they got here, what their life was like, what their planet looked like. It would be endless for me.
What I did, and I think this is because I was premature. I was, all you 9-monthers, I came out in 7 months. I had to know what life was about. I was asking, where did the human race come from? How did humans get on this planet? It wasn't really about them. It was about human history. And they told me two things, this entity through the ex-wife. And this is sort of on the order of Seth Speaks and Jane Roberts.
Yeah.
I lived with that for 4.5 years. And what they told me, the two things that were very important to humans is Atlantis. We all go back there to Atlantis. And reincarnation. And I'm going to be referring a number of times to Edgar Casey. And, you know, Edgar Casey would agree with me.
And he doesn't get his due. I'm a fan of his work, Doug, and I'm sure you are, too. And he just doesn't. You've provided us also, for those who have computers, not only a link to your website, yurchey.com, but the energy grid graphic, the wireless energy grid that we'll be talking about tonight, in addition to everything else about some of these mysteries. But let's go back a little bit. People are saying, all right, here's this great background artist for The Simpsons, and he's done a lot of work in this arena. But how did this, beyond the meeting with the psychic, beyond the ex-wife, what made you the expert here?
Because I studied this for 33 years. Because the marriage actually ended very badly. And you know what I think happened, George? She channeled so, not just one entity. She channeled so many, good, bad, over 4 years. This was something I lived with, that I think she lost herself. This wasn't the woman that loved me or I loved. She completely lost herself. It ended very bad.
That's sad.
So, yeah, after 4 years, and there was a child involved, it was very sad. So I think what I did was just throw myself into, making the best of a bad situation, throw myself into this science that I was learning. And the and here's the thing, I'm going to give you a quote that what the entity said to me. Now, there was never, when I was given this map, I simply asked, how did the humans get here? And right here, 2 feet away from me, is the same globe. What this entity, and I'm backing up here, what the entity did to answer my question, how the humans got here, grabbed this globe that I have, and I still have it to this day, and marked 13 places on the globe. And what I did is I put a marker at each one of these spots and then a little sticker, and that's where it all began. All they said was, these are computer parts. It worked as one global network. That's all they said. They never said one word about Tesla. This was in 73 to 77. The marriage ended in 77. I discovered the work of Tesla in 1978. So they knew I was going to... Okay, here's the quote they said. It will mean more to you if you find out on your own than us handing you the answers on a silver platter. So I think that's why they didn't. They knew I was going to make the Tesla connection and make this big deal, and really it has changed my life. You said, why am I an expert? This became an obsession, and I had to find out. At some point in these half-hour breaks, I'd like to just go over one of the half-hour breaks. I'd like to just go over the grid points. Just go to each one, not the most famous ones, because we've heard. Maybe I can touch upon Easter Island.
Why don't you do those now? Let's do that, because that sets the stage for a lot of things we're going to talk about.
Okay, and then if anyone has any back questions, I'll answer. The most famous ones, like I said, out in the Atlantic Ocean, a continent that probably sank. The classic story. Okay, Stonehenge, Easter Island, the Incas, and the Great Pyramid. Those are the most, like I said, I readily knew about them. But and in my article, Atlantis Power Grid, I hardly talk about them, because there's documentaries galore about all that. I wanted to talk about the other eight, the other lesser-known ones. And, okay, I'll start with Tassili. And, matter of fact, on the continent of Africa, you know how Africa is shaped. It looks like a dog leg.
Right.
It forms like a perfect triangle. We know where the Great Pyramid is located. Tassili is in the middle of the Sahara Desert to the west. And then there's one southern called Zimbabwe. And I'll be talking about that too. But it forms a perfect triangle because the continent of Africa hasn't moved. It's one tectonic plate. And it's the same distance from the Great Pyramid to Stonehenge. And the same distance from these are like grid points. They would be the same, like, dimples on a golf ball or a geodesic dome. These are the distances of each pixel in that grid.
All these locations you're giving us have objects there or structures. Is that important, or is it the location, the spot?
Both. And I say, why weren't they all Stonehenges? Why weren't they all Easter Island? I think this was a power system that had different functions. And I actually believe that You've heard of Alan Landsberg, producer of In Search Of, who wrote some amazing books. He called Tiwanaku Earth Base One. And I think he's right, because what I've learned, you can't date a stone city. You can't date when the stones were cut. How do you date these things? I look at something called reading the rocks. I am gauging the size and weight of the building blocks. What's this? What's the next block to it? It's cut so perfectly. What's the next block? In Tiwanaku, you have 200-ton blocks in an impossible place on the top of the Andes Mountains.
How'd they get up there, Doug?
Exactly. I was going to start this off by asking you a question, George, and say, how did the Indians get to America?
Exactly. How'd that happen?
We know how the Europeans got here. We saw them come off the boats. The Indians have a long history. How did they get here?
Or were they always here, or did they come from someplace else, someplace above?
Well, they didn't come here on boats, because Heyerdahl's better-built Raw 2 sank 20 minutes after it was launched, and that was the better-built one. So it wasn't boats. Now, here's the thing. If they were to walk here, that's what everyone would say.
Yeah, they didn't come in through the Bering Straits at the time, exactly, when everything was connected.
But that's the common belief. And if that were true, then the first Indians would, the Incas would have stone fortresses all over Canada. So if they walked here, you want me to believe that they walked all the way down to South America, Peru, and say, hey, boys, let's build titanic stone cities on top where nothing can grow. They would have stayed in the jungles and where something grows, not grow in an impossible place. What actually happened was these were the survivors of Atlantis. I believe Casey's date of 12,000, 13,000 years ago. To me, that's when the power plug of this world grid was pulled. Once you destroy the towers, now this is Tesla. I'm going to get into Tesla and all that. But if you have a tower, power like radio, sending out a signal, but only that's how you get your electricity around that certain range. Once you do that, and if you go to war and you destroy that tower, it's like the day the earth stood still. All the machines drop. No machines work anymore because that power of induction powered everything, and now you've destroyed the power center. So anyway, I was going to say with Tassili. Tassili, there are cave paintings in the middle of the Sahara Desert, these high caves, thousands of paintings. Great God Mars is one of the, it looks like a diver von Doniger pointed to. And this was a time where they are painting thousands of murals and caves of lush meadows and farmlands and everything. So these are like memories of when it wasn't a desert anymore, but a lush, green, fertile land. Something changed it. And I know what did that with these other things, too. There were ancient atomic wars, and that's what caused it. But the first destruction was 12,000, 13,000 years ago when simply the power plug was pulled, stranded Easter Island. They could move certain things, but they realized it's not. They thought the receiver was a problem, so they just kept making statue after statue after statue. And then they realized, oh, no. The problem is at the transmitter.
Did every point on this wireless energy grid work with the other? I mean, did you need everyone to function?
Yeah. If you're going to destroy, well, look, I think there was a fee. What sunk that continent? That was the main one, and so that fed all the other ones. So it sank because I actually think that the story is. In Atlantean lore.
So that was almost like the power plant, you're saying.
It absolutely was, and that's the exact word Casey used, power station and powerhouse. And his book on Atlantis, it's not a book about Atlantis. It's a book that takes you there. He's trying to help people. You know, his son's put together all those books on different categories. Page for page, that's one of the greatest books ever written because he takes you to Atlantis, and he's writing technical things. He wasn't an educated man, Edgar Casey, and he's talking about raised from stones, powered the pleasure vehicles. That's one line. So this is Tesla. raised from stones. See, people don't realize that these ancient stones could be electrified, and they could go into oscillation and carry on a world frequency. This is exactly what Tesla wanted. See, Tesla, okay, we know about...
Well, let me ask you this. Of these 13, we'll get into Tesla in a moment. Okay. Of these 13 points all around the planet...
It shows human occupation, advanced human occupation, mysteriously arrived and mysteriously destroyed.
But some of them were different time periods.
No. That's my point. I can make a case for 13 simultaneous. See, the point is it's all organized. If it forms a grid worldwide, this isn't coincidence. This is a pattern.
Absolutely. If that's the case, I agree with them. But so you're saying they were all there at the same time?
I believe that we landed here at Tiwanaku, surveyed the planet, Earth Base, from Earth Base mm-hmm. 1. They knew the perfect locations and put up a grid of power and then left. Mm-hmm. And the human race, and why my grid is different from other world grids like Bruce Cathy's and Carl Monk's, you can't even find those grids. It's like I heard Bruce Cathy has 23 members. To me, these are substations because, you know, Ed Leedskalnin in Florida, he was looking for that special land off of Bimini. Now, these are other vortexes, one in Sedona maybe. These are substations. My 13 were the cradles of civilization.
What did they use the energy grid for?
Electricity. This is a test.
I mean, the kind of electricity we would use today? Or are we talking about electricity for some other purpose?
No, the same thing. We have an inferior system today given to us by Tesla.
I mean, they didn't have radios, right?
Yes, they had. Yes, sir. They had. The ancients had every bit of technology and more. This is Edgar Cayce. Everything in our present experience and more.
So they might have had computers. They might have had televisions. They might have had all these things.
Absolutely.
Microwave ovens.
I know that's a hard thing for people to digest because, you know, who am I? I just have this grid, but I have Tesla. And I want to tell you about my...
And you work on the Simpsons television show.
I actually got fired from the Simpsons and sued them. So it's kind of a... Maybe
all right. Full disclosure here, Doug. Full disclosure.
Okay, but I should go back to the other points on the grid. We mentioned Tassili. I think it was nuked, and these people that look like they're in spacesuits were in radiation suits. I mean, there are ancient paintings. How did the paint last that long? And they're painting among the flora and fauna. There are these round heads, and there are zippers and saucers. I mean, I've seen the paintings.
I know that is incredible stuff.
And to me, this is the human race. That was nuked. Some survived in caves. We didn't start in caves. We had to retreat to caves just to survive. And they painted. So here were these roundheads. They were people coming in, testing the area for radiation in the radiation suits. And that's what they drew. Okay, that's Tassili. Okay, how about Zimbabwe? We know the Great Pyramid. There's Tassili. The other corner of that triangle is Southern Africa,
uh-huh.
Zimbabwe. Who said that the ancient Africans, we're not taught that the ancient Africans built in stone. We think like thatched roofs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think Zimbabwe means house of stone.
All right, let's get to some of these other grids when we come back, grid points, and then we'll get into the reason why. We'll get into some of these other PowerPoints on this grid, and then we'll really get into some of the strange stuff. Okay, Doug, we left off at the Zimbabwe for one of the points, the world grid points. So let's get to the rest of them. Hello, Doug. Oh, Doug. No, we do not have Doug here, so we will have to go find him. He was on a wireless phone, and because of that, it's very possible that his wireless grid has gone down. And if we do not get him, well, obviously we will go into some form of open line situation. Anyways, our guest tonight is Doug Yerchi, and we're talking about his theory that the ancient world was lined up with 13 parts of a world grid. And these parts were supposed to be interconnected in a wireless way, of course. Just what were they used for? Of course, he says electricity. And he claims that they had everything that we had. Simple as that. And how strange, how bizarre to be doing an interview with a person about a worldwide grid, an ancient worldwide grid, and he's gone, or his power's gone. How can we be? Tommy, you got him? Let's go back. Doug, you there?
So sorry.
Where'd you go?
There's a problem with this phone. I was going to give you another phone number to call me at.
Oh, well, let's have you see if you can make it through for the next 20 minutes, and then we'll get the new number from you.
Okay, it started beeping, and it's probably going to beep in the next couple of minutes. I'm so sorry.
All right, hold on. Tommy, get his phone number and call him right back, and we'll do that. And in the meantime, you get to hear me tell you about the world's problems. only on a network show would this happen. I never had this happen in St. Louis, ever. Only on a network program like this. There's no excuse for this. And as soon as we get him back, and make that call again to me, Tom. Tom, are you getting him now? And we'll get that new number and call him right back. I'm so sorry. I apologize, by the way, for this, because you shouldn't have to go through this at all. Simple as all. I'm going to read you some fast blasts while we're doing this, because a lot of people are enraged over the animal abuse and the publicity that we helped develop that. People can't understand how in this society, it's bad enough that you would continue to hurt and maim people. But even an innocent creature like an animal is just out of control. Out of control. Okay, we'll go back to you. Now, Doug, are we all set?
Yeah, I'm sorry. A little bit of technical difficulty.
Well, that happens sometimes.
Okay.
Should have been worked out first, though.
I was talking about the different grid points. And George, you asked me about did they have television, all that. I see it from a different point of view. I see an advanced Tesla system, which is the most advanced form of acquiring energy and distributing energy. Any advanced life form would do this. I think if you go to other planets, you'll see pyramids. That is a Tesla system to the max. And so I'm seeing a global world system. So something like television is primitive. And I worked up this picture where I put Tesla's tower and the Great Pyramid next to each other, and with lightning bolts coming across the top of the pyramid to the top of the Tesla tower. And I asked the question, which one's more advanced? One's primitive, one's advanced. A lot of people would say, well, the pyramid has to be primitive. The truth is, the pyramid is the advanced Tesla system. Tesla was just basically discovering the principle. He obsoleted his own AC current with this wireless tower, the same way a radio worked, and Tesla invented radio.
I think Christopher Dunn believes that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a power plant.
A power pump, a lens, absolutely. And why the America pyramids are different shaped than Egyptians? Different time period, much later than the Egyptian pyramids, so that the shape of the lens had to be different to conform to, you know, so many things have happened. Maybe the poles have shifted a different frequency from a different time, so the lens had to be different. But I think all these 13 places brought forth the human race, and everything was advanced in. I think Atlantis was Eden. It was a technical Eden. They could control the weather. That's how they were able to farm on the top of the Andes Mountains. That's why there's a water erosion on the Sphinx. This was not, and why they were drawing lush scenes in Tosili. Everything changed. And I think because they could control the weather. But once the power plug was pulled and no machines could work, it would be like going back to the Dark Ages.
So in that plug was when you believe Atlantis sunk.
A feedback effect, an implosion. It went back to the source. Instead of the power coming out, it went in. I was saying the lore of Atlantis. I think it was the good guys that pulled a self-destructive switch, because Edgar Casey will tell you of two factions that eventually emerged in Atlantis, the Law of One and Sons of Belial. Law of One wanted the old ways. Now, everything's fine if you could have utopia and you can clone. That's the secret to everything. Everything we have, they mastered. You could clone and decorate your utopia. That's fine if everybody's of an enlightened mind. But this new generation, thousands of years later, took that, kids today, this new generation, and they took this and they were building monsters because they could. And the mythical animals, half man, half centaur, those were genetic experiments. And so we have one destruction of 12,000 years ago, and then 8,000 years ago, nuclear wars, and then a great flood. 5,000 years.
Tell me about the nuke wars.
Well, if you read the ancient books of India and Robert Oppenheimer, father of the bomb, That's why when you see a documentary of him, he'll say, he'll quote from the Bhagavad Gita and say, I'm the destroyer of worlds. He's reading from that. And he was asked in a college lecture, was Alamogordo the first nuclear test? And the student was thinking, was there another project before Alamogordo? And he said, no, it was the first nuclear test in the modern age. So he knew of ancient.
Do you think he tapped into some of that knowledge? I mean, were there? Was there like a blueprint of how to build a bomb, for example, that he picked up out of that?
I think we all go back to past lives, and what did we do? Why am I obsessed with Atlantis? Why am I obsessed with pyramids? I think we go back, and Casey will tell you. Casey was trying to help people, and all these bits of glimpses of Atlantis was trying to help people. About Zimbabwe, I was mentioning,
And what number is that on your map? Do you have a number that way?
I just have the last three numbered because those were discovered, on my charger. Those were discovered after the map.
Okay, well, buzz through them, and then we can come back to them.
Well, I was saying there's these conical towers, great stoneworks that ancient Africans did. They couldn't, the soil was poor. Now, here's the thing. There are smaller Zimbabwes around the main complex. And just like you have a pyramid and smaller pyramids around the big pyramid, you have mounds much later, big mound in Cahokia. I was there. There are smaller mounds in the United States. From the connected to Cahokia and surrounding Cahokia, there are giant standing stones in a pattern. Stonehenge is the main power center for that area, but there are smaller Stonehenges all over England, standing stones, even the northern France. So what this is the energy from a turning Earth. Remember, there's energy that moves the compass needle in nature. If we were very smart, we could tap into that. So what this is isn't idols to a god, because these are things we can't build today. We can't build these things. So these standing stones, Tesla was saying how we could he could get something to oscillate. There's a little story in let me go to the one in Australia. In Australia, the same thing around the Alice Springs area in the outback. That was once a lush, green, tropical place, and now it's a desert, very hot in the outback. There are everything around the Alice Springs area. That seems to be the center. Now, that's where that big red rock is.
Well, how did people, Doug, tap into the power? I mean, just recently, we're talking about how we can have wireless electronics where you don't have to plug them in anymore, and you'd be able to use your everything with this. Was it the same way then?
No. See, Bill Gates' idea of wireless world is not Tesla's idea of wireless world. No. Okay.
I mean, did people plug in their appliances in something?
Well, see, that's the thing. We don't know. Since Tesla was taken out of the books, we don't know what we got screwed out of in the 20th century. We were on our way to utopia. Everything would have a little antenna in. Yes, you know, in this world. See, we don't know what the Tesla world would look like. It would look like all our vehicles.
Yeah, but it wasn't a wired world.
No, I'm saying once you have the towers putting out the signal.
The signal, the power.
Like a radio station. Now, this is a very important thing that I didn't mention. In reading Tesla, I found out that tower in New York was only the first. There was going to be eight more. See, there was going to be a whole world system.
Yeah, this one was just the experiment.
Well, no, that was Colorado Springs. That proved that there were stationary waves. The one in New York was going to be the first.
Is that the one that Westinghouse was financing, and he pulled a plug on him?
No, you're talking about Morgan. And no, I found out through someone who
J.P. Morgan was financing it.
That's the classic story, but I found out that classic story isn't quite true, that Tesla had all the money in the world. It wasn't due to Morgan's funds that tower failed. That somebody had, this was the crowning achievement of his inventions. He invented everything that had to do with electricity. He invented everything that had to do with radio, and then he combined those two so that you could broadcast electricity.
All right, but Tesla didn't come along for 10 to 15,000 years after these ancient grids.
Right. And I'm saying, as great as the great Tesla was, he was only inventing the basic design. Just like the first radios were huge. Now they're sleek and they don't even look like radios anymore.
Yeah, but are you saying Tesla got his knowledge from this ancient grid?
No, not at all. I'm saying he was trying to give us what the way ahead of its time. We, 100 years later, we're still not ready for it, and we're not going to have these towers because the military would build a weapon.
Hold on. You're getting a little too scattery here on me. Tesla was working on this power, right? This power. Where did he get the idea?
It was a sum total of all his work. I just said he combined radio and electricity. People were being amazed at just the AC at that time. His mind was already on that the entire Earth can be used as an electric conductor, and a field can be set up between the negatively charged ground and the positively charged ionosphere.
All right, but thousands of years ago, you're saying we had this wireless ancient grid.
And they mastered what Tesla was just scratching the surface of. Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, but they came first.
Right. I'm just saying it was Tesla's principles. I'm just saying.
No, I could. How could it have been Tesla's principles when they were 13,000 years before him? Tesla must have taken their principles.
Okay, maybe you're misunderstanding me. I'm not saying that Tesla was there. He may have been in Atlantis, and he's come back to us. I don't know. All I'm saying is he was so brilliant that he would come up with the greatest, most efficient means to acquire energy and distribute it for human use. And if we were to go to another planet in the future and we're advanced, what would we do? The first thing we would do, to colonize, let's say, we would lay in the power lines, only it wouldn't be lines. We would have our great knowledge tap into the electromagnetic field of this new planet, and suddenly we'd be building a pyramid and building a utopia. As that's what we had, a technical utopia, but it all could blow up in our face if used the wrong way. And that's what eventually happened in the later stages of Atlantis. Casey talked about the things. He didn't have the word clone in his time, and he talks about the wars about the things. George Lucas knew something when he wrote Attack of the Clones, because there were, reading Casey, there were wars over the rights of the clones, and there were wars, but he's using the word things. Okay, and I hope this can make some sense. This guy, you know, but in Casey's book, he doesn't say Tesla, but he says maybe the Atlanteans were able to broadcast electricity. And what he said about the Cro-Magnons, this is so important, George, the Cro-Magnons, which are going to have a television show pretty soon. We see them on the insurance commercials. right?
Right.
In our
All right.
psyche,
Yeah.
that's where we came from, and I'm offended. To me, it's like you're looking at the flat earth. Edgar Cayce said Cro-Mags were the Atlantean man, and here's the bombshell. Their brain cavity is larger than human men and women.
So what happened then to all this technology? How come it ended? Other than Tesla, nobody else was able to carry the bag here.
Yeah, but we're still not ready for it because our military would make a weapon out of that. I heard from a person named Arthur Matthews. Arthur Matthews died in 1986, and I said that I have some information that all the Tesla books are actually wrong because Arthur is the one who told me that Tesla had all the money he needed to build. They co-wrote a book together.
Now, they pulled a plug on Tesla. They took his funds away. They screwed the guy up. He had the money, and then they stopped this project. They stopped funding him.
Well, according to Arthur Matthews, who co-wrote a book with Tesla, who knew Tesla, who worked with Tesla, supposedly Tesla gave him all his secrets. And I got to talk to him once on the telephone. He died in 1986. I was pen pals with him. And he tells me a story different than all the books.
Well, I'm also told that all of Tesla's secrets were stolen by the government.
Absolutely.
Well, then how come this? How did this guy get them then?
Well, he knew. They wrote a book together. They wrote a book called The Wall of Light. You can get it through Health Research. It's the only book Tesla ever wrote that's non-technical. It was about his whole life story. And there's Arthur Matthews. And Arthur said Tesla married in 1890, had a son, and died a very rich man. And that goes, and he knew Tesla.
He was penniless.
No, that's the story. George, I'm just saying, here's a man that knew Tesla. I'm going to take his word for it over all these books. According to Arthur, who knew him, all these books have been written from other books, and it's just not the story. But the point is, it's the most advanced system. You have to be enlightened at the last stages of it. I mean, to have the pyramid civilization working and everything. But if you go to war, and you destroy the towers, there goes all your power. The system was rebuilt again with the survivors. The survivors of Atlantis went to Egypt and to the Incas. That's how they built the fortresses on top of the Andes Mountains. And that was New Atlantis. They built it again and built it again. But then, again, the same reincarnated forces maybe blew itself up. They couldn't move great stones anymore. They moved less and less, and then they couldn't move and they couldn't work in stone at all. And you have the Hopi Indians and the Anasazi and the Cahokia, who made amazing earthen structures and mounds. This is beyond the capability of the old West Indians. So you have a perfect devolution from the Incas to the Toltec, Olmec, Maya, Aztec, and these other earthen works, and then you get to the American Indian. So that's why the movement of Indian, the migration of Indian was northward, and their technology was going backward.
Well, I don't know about that, Doug, but we're going to move on. We're up at the top of the hour, and thanks, Doug. I appreciate you being on the program. We are going to go to open lines. I don't want to risk any more phone lines getting clipped at all. We'll give you the numbers in just a moment.